Shortly after arriving at St. Johannes Charleston to serve an interim there, it became clear that the congregation needed to gather and preserve over 135 years worth of archives. That is no small task. Parish registers, council minutes, photos, plenty of artifacts, including a 100-year-old Sunday school bell. Thankfully, we didn't have to start from scratch. Some work had already been done. The parish registers were locked in a waterproof, fireproof safe, and some plastic tubs had been filled with various items needed to be sorted and cataloged. Some even of the information had been digitized, so we were thankful for that. But as work progressed slowly, there were gaps that presented themselves. Council minutes from the 1970s were nowhere we could find them. Maybe they were somebody's attic somewhere, but we didn't locate them. And a water spill on a report in those days that this report was written in fountain pen ink, and of course that water just blurred everything. Don't know what that report had to say. And during these holy days that started last Thursday, the church reminded itself again that a gap exists between God and God's own creation, due 100% to human rebellion and obstinacy. And the gap not only separates us from God, but from each other. And the consequences that we suffer have been costly, they have been deadly. There's ongoing war, genocide, oppression, subjugation, religious divide, social divide, economic divide, haven't even begun to scratch the surface of what that has cost us. Through worship, we were sobered by the reality of our condition, but we did not despair. We did not despair because we live still in the shadow of the cross. We have a history with God. We know how this story ends. And the church today proclaims Christ's victory again, that God chose to close the gap between us and God, and that God in Christ refused to stay dead. Evil and death would not have the last word. And our world, our lives, because of that cross event, have been forever changed. However, listening to Mark's resurrection story gives cause to wonder. The last word from Peter was a denial he knew Jesus. The last word from the women who had supported Jesus' ministry, who'd witnessed his crucifixion, who knew where the tomb was, who were headed there to anoint his body with spices, the last word we heard from them was a worried question. Who's going to roll away that massive stone? Who will roll it away so that we might get into the tomb? The gospel's details are sparse. The women went to the tomb. It was open. A white-robed young man told the women Jesus was alive. They were instructed to tell the other disciples, including Peter, Jesus would meet them in Galilee. And then Mark writes, the women hightailed it from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. I imagine they were afraid. The dead, and Jesus was certifiably dead, do not come back to life. Despite the TV movies and series and the like, the dead stay dead. It's a law of nature, and quite frankly, they need to stay dead. We've got enough trouble with traffic and parking and everything else without having dead people running around. These women had a National Enquirer-worthy story to tell, and yet Mark says they said nothing. Not a word to anyone. I mean, who would believe them? They'd go around and say, you know, a young man said Jesus is alive and will meet us in Galilee. They kind of lock you up for saying things around like that. And so here we have another gap of sorts on our hands. The women ran away and said nothing. One commentator describes the women's situation this way. If Jesus is raised, if the stone was rolled away, and life outlasts death, and death has the and God has the last word, then there is something for the women to fear. The facts of life and death are turned on their head, and nothing is secure and fixed. Jesus is raised. God is on the loose. God is on the move. Nothing is secure and fixed now. Nothing the women heard or say made any sense to them, nor does it make any sense to us. It scared the living daylights out of them, and rightly so. And it should rightly scare the living daylights out of you and me. Because coming to grips with the surety God is not confined in a tomb, that God is not confined by the limits of nature or cultural customs, God is not confined by time or our expectations or even death, but that God is alive and on the prowl is a fearful thing. Fearful, for this is not a God we can control. This is not a God who sits silently gathering dust on some bookshelf. This is not a God we can carry around like a rabbit's foot or shamrock, some other good luck charm. This is not a God who's going to let us be. This is not a God we can ignore or pretend doesn't exist. This is not a God, and here's the sticker, who doesn't act and think like we do. This is the God of the empty tomb. The Christ of the empty tomb would not stay there. And Christ has filled in that gap. Christ has given us that last word. Our separation is over. Our reconciliation is complete. Now, of course, at some point, the women's story came out. We don't know how that happened, but it was really too much of an outrageous story to tell for it not to get out, whatever that risk might have been. Word got out. Stories of those who met the risen Christ spread. Otherwise, we would have stayed in bed a lot later this morning. Jesus' tomb was empty on that morning. Christ is alive and going ahead of us to the places where Christ would have us meet him. In quiet and prayerful contemplation, in dusty and molding archives, in the work we do that provides for ourselves and supports our community. God will meet us at the rally in Washington, D.C. this week. And God will meet us, and God meets us every time someone wheels down a wheelchair ramp this congregation has built, wherever it is throughout the Midlands. God will meet us in hospital rooms, in jail cells, or shelters, wherever the case may be. It might be standing in the line at Target, or it could be at the AAA Motor Center, as my husband experienced yesterday. Christ is alive and going ahead of us. Christ is alive and raising us from death even now. Despite what it might look like, despite what it might feel like, Christ is alive and raising us from the dead even now, raising us from every grief, from every fear. And that's at the bottom. That's the fundamental layer of our sinfulness, every grief, every fear, our bigotry, our jealousy, our loss, our hatred, our gluttony, if you happen to eat breakfast over there in the Fab, our apathy. God is raising us up from those forms of death. Already we have met the risen Christ in the word proclaimed, and soon we will meet Christ at the table where he comes bearing us gifts of faith and forgiveness. And we will need those gifts because shortly afterward, this sanctuary will empty. And we will leave with our own stories of new life to tell. We'll be sent, equipped, accompanied by the Holy Spirit. And we pick up where those women left off. We pick up where they left off. In the news we have to share, writes one Presbyterian pastor, may not seem as profound as those of the women, but some people will hear the news from no other person. Mark's silent ending challenges us to find our voices. And yes, sometimes what we experience defies reason, and we may tremble to believe it is true. Yet when God enters and transforms our lives as God has done, surely we must tell someone. Surely we must. Our stories, whatever they are, our stories of being raised from death, are no less astounding or miraculous than those of the women. And someone is waiting for us to tell them. They may not even know it yet, but somebody is waiting for us to tell them that this much is certain, that Jesus is alive, the tomb is empty, and this is what a difference it has made in my own life. And that Jesus is going ahead of us. This much we know is true. Preparing those hearts and minds of all who need to hear. Raising from the dead all again who long for new life. That God's final word is life. It is abundant life. And that that gap has been closed. Jesus, that's the gift Jesus gave us. Close that gap between us and God. We have the whole story. Nothing is missing. And indeed today, just like the kids, we say Christ is risen. Alleluia. And we can add a big old yippee at the end of that. Thanks be to God. Amen.